Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come to you this evening, God. We are truly thankful for all you do for us, Father, for our jobs, our families, Father, the relationships we have with one another, just being in your kingdom, God, being able to say that Jesus is Lord, not just when we're baptized, but every day.
That's right.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have this class talk. We ask that you be with Mike tonight, fill him with your spirit, God, and let each heart and each mind be attentive to what's said tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, brothers, if you've been a Christian from 0 to 5 years, I want you to stand up. 0 to 5 years. Okay. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, I'm going to go a little wider here. 5 years to 20 years. Oh. Okay. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, I can go a little further.
Come on.
20 years to 35 years. Wow. Now, we don't have any brothers who's been a Christian longer than 35 years, right? Amen. Wow. Amen. I wanted to do that because tonight we're going to take a look at what God says about spiritual maturity.
Come on.
And as you can see, we have a lot of brothers in here that's been around for quite a period of time. Amen?
Amen.
What does it take to grow up and become spiritually mature? That's a good question. I wish I had the answer. Webster's definition of maturity, the condition of being fully grown or developed. You know, as babies are immature physically and mentally, you know, we expect them at some point to grow up and develop. Amen?
Amen.
And if they don't, there's a problem. If our children don't grow up and develop and mature, there's got to be a problem.
Come on.
Spiritual growth is the same way, but far more important.
That's right.
When we became disciples, we were considered spiritual babies. Mm-hmm. You know, as time passes, God expects us to grow up.
Amen.
And become more and more like Christ.
Amen.
How's that going? Becoming more and more like Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures tonight, so keep up with me. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
So, you know, here's Paul, and he's talking about how God has set pastors and teachers and evangelists in our presence to help us to grow spiritually. And he's done that so that we can mature, obtaining the full measure of Christ. Now, they're not solely responsible for your spiritual growth. That's just an appetizer that we get. On Thursdays, it's only an appetizer.
Amen.
On Sunday, it's an appetizer. Now, if you're like me, an appetizer is not going to fill me up.
No.
Come on.
No.
And if you're just eating appetizers, you know, we could talk later. But you need a full course meal. And that's up to each individual in this room to make sure that you're getting fed like that.
Right.
You know, the Bible talks about in 2 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn there, it says we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it's right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. You know, as we mature, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit just starts coming out.
Amen.
You see it. It's obvious in your life. It's obvious when you're at school. It's obvious when you interact with your wives and your children. It's obvious that you're maturing spiritually.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
See, a lot of times, as we age as Christians, the world creeps in. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower, where the things of the world and the worries of the world creep in and it chokes the word out of us. And we stop growing. And we just settle right where we're at. Tonight, I want to look at some things that will help us, that would encourage us to continue to want to grow spiritually.
Amen.
And brothers, as the church goes, the men will lead the church. If the men aren't leading, the church will be stale. It will stall.
Amen.
The church will not move.
Yeah.
If the men in here aren't trying to grow spiritually, we will be at a standstill as a church.
That's true.
That's happened in the past, and it will continue to happen if we don't make every effort to grow. Amen?
Right.
Amen. You know, my first point is, we will never grow unless you want to grow. You know, sometimes you just, that's not for me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take time to read my Bible and pray and fight to be righteous. I'm not going to do it. You know, I think about my job where I work. I work at Turner Broadcasting, and, you know, it's a very, very hectic type of business, but I want to grow with the company. You know, and I hope the brothers that do have full-time jobs, if you're working, that's your attitude too. You want to kind of grow so that you can provide for your families.
Right.
You know, and what I tell my immediate supervisor almost every week, I need immediate feedback. Let me know whether I'm doing something right or wrong on the spot. Don't wait 2 weeks later to let me know what I've done wrong. I need immediate feedback.
Amen.
And I feel the same way spiritually. You know, I have to have brothers around me that's going to give me immediate feedback. And that's just the way it is. We have to have that immediate feedback. And if you want to grow as a disciple, you got to have that.
Amen.
Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2.
All right, man. Come on.
You brothers with me in here?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Okay, I'm just checking. 1 Peter 2 in verse 2. We have to want to grow. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
That's right.
You have to crave pure spiritual milk.
Amen.
We have to crave that. And sometimes, even us brothers, we're just comfortable being babies.
Yeah.
You can be a Christian 15 years and you're just totally comfortable being a 15-year-old spiritually. Because of your lack of Bible study, your lack of prayer, your lack of devotion to the church, you just stall out. And people recognize it, and some of us recognize it, and we don't even help each other with it. We know it, we see it, but we ignore it. And as a church, brothers, we can't do that.
Amen.
The Bible commands us to encourage one another. Romans 15:14 talks about we are competent to instruct one another.
Yeah, right.
We have to do that and help each other.
Right.
It takes time and effort to grow spiritually. You know, we can't become lazy and just give in to that temptation of, no, I don't have to have a quiet time every day. I can miss this Thursday. I'm tired. There's opportunities that are out there, and Satan is sitting there looking for those opportunities for you to say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm not ready to do this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to grow. It's easy to be a baby. No responsibility.
Well, that's true.
Think about it. A baby is held. You know, you clean a baby, you feed a baby, you put the baby in the bed. The baby has no responsibility. You know, we can do that here in church. We can be babies. Listen, I don't have to preach. I don't have to teach. I don't have to worry about someone asking me to do a prayer. I don't have to ask any, worry about anyone asking me, what have I been studying out?
Wow.
Because of our lack of trying to encourage one another to grow and change. You know, staying this way really shipwrecks our faith and those that are around us. Our wives, our kids, the roommates. We have to have a desire to grow.
Amen.
That's my second point. Some of us have lost our desire. That desire to say, you know what? This is not good enough. Spiritually, I know I can do better. Spiritually, I know I can do more. Spiritually, I know that I could do more for the lost. We get complacent. The scriptures teach us that growth is always needed. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 12. It says, not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Here is Paul the Apostle. As mature as he was, he did not consider himself to have achieved perfection. The greatest, in my eyes, the greatest apostle of them all. His attitude was like, you know what? I haven't considered myself achieving anything, but I'm pressing on to be more and more like Christ.
Amen.
He forgot about his past achievements. He could have boasted and just, for the rest of his life, talked about his achievements as a Christian. But he said, you know what? I want to press on to greater accomplishments.
Amen.
How about us? Are we still kind of stuck on, you know, the yesteryears of what we used to do and how we used to be and how we used to bring people to church and how we used to disciple people and how we did this and that? Or are we like, you know what? I need to take it up a notch.
Amen.
Spiritually. You brothers with me?
Amen.
You think we need to take it up a notch?
Amen.
You think God wants us to take it up a notch?
Amen.
You know, Satan wants us to be complacent.
Amen.
Satan will camp out in your house once he figures out that you have no desire to grow. And he will stay there. And he will take control of your home, whether it's with your spouse and your children, and you will be miserable. And you'll be trying to figure out what's going on. But what's going on is that you made a decision that you're not going to grow. Matthew 26, verse 31. We're going to skip around a little bit. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you all will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." You have to maintain that desire to grow. Peter thought that he had reached that level spiritually that he was like, "Oh no, Jesus, I'll never deny you." That very night, he denied him three times. That convicted me. Because Peter was Jesus' right-hand man.
Yep.
The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 10, 12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands heed, lest he fall."
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're standing firm, if you think you have reached the level of spiritual maturity, be careful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Be careful, because Satan is just waiting for that opportunity for you to get slack, for you to let your guard down, and he will hit you. As disciples, we will never reach the point where we are spiritually mature enough to say, "We've arrived." And if you have, please see me after class. Because we need to talk. I hadn't met anyone yet. Not here on earth. One of the main reasons Christians don't grow is because they don't see the need to grow. I got Richard. Richard can, he feeds me. That's good enough for me. That's all I need. I just need the elders just to teach those classes on Sunday. That's all I need.
Surely not.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Come on,
Mike. You have no desire to work and serve in the church. There's plenty of needs in the church.
Amen.
There's so many needs in the church. I mean, it breaks my heart to see Glenn and Russ throughout the year trying to beg people to teach the children.
Come on.
That breaks my heart. I'm like, man, don't we have enough men to say, you know what? Send me.
Amen.
I'll go.
Yes. Come on.
Send me. We have to develop a burning desire and thirst to work for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you have the burning desire to accomplish more for the Lord? If that's not your burning desire, what's your burning desire? What's your burning desire? Is it to get home to watch the Knicks and the Heat? I mean, what's your burning desire? What do you desire the most? Because whatever that desire is, trust me, you are going to put so much time and effort into that particular thing.
That's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You have to set specific goals to work on to accomplish that.
Amen.
Amen.
And have someone challenge you with that. You know, for me, this year I'm studying out just Jesus with people. I'm studying out every account that Jesus is interacting with other people. Because that's a challenge for me. I don't know about for you, but for me, just interacting with people, whether they're at work, whether they're at church, it doesn't matter. I want to interact with people the way Jesus did.
Amen.
And so that's my goal. And I want you to challenge me on that.
Come on, brother.
And I know some of you will.
Come on now.
My other point is, to mature, we need spiritual food. That's God's Word. The Bible talks about in Matthew 4:4, but He answered, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
That's right.
Are we living by the Word of God? Is that our bread? Is that where we're getting what we need to go out in the world to deal with the people in the world? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5.
Come on, Mike.
Come on.
Because God's Word is the key.
It's becoming.
Amen.
God's Word is the key. Somebody sent me an email today, and they invited me at my job to be a part of a spiritual group. And I didn't even know this person. But it encouraged me because I'm like, wow, where did they get my name from? But that was very encouraging, and trust me, I took that invitation right away. Because I want to be a part of that. I want to see what they're talking about. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Paul is talking to Christians here. It says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You know, here's Paul. He's rebuking the Christians for not growing like they should be growing. And I had the brothers stand up, as far as you know, how long you've been a Christian. Brothers, in this room, there needs to be a lot of solid food eating around here.
Amen.
A lot.
Come on, that's true.
There should be no Infamil going on in this room. Maybe a couple of bottles here and there. But there should be a lot of solid food eating around here. But he was rebuking them because they decided that they wouldn't grow. You know, if Jesus came in this room right now and he had the opportunity to give out milk and solid food, what's the percentage of milk that he would give out in this room? Would he start handing more bottles out than meatloaf and macaroni and cheese? I mean, what would it be? Would you have a bottle in your hand? My last point is, we must remember that growing spiritually requires time and patience. Time and patience. Now this is where I struggle, because I want it and I want it now.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it is with me. I want it and I want it now. I want to grow. I want to change. I want to be more and more like Jesus. But each and every day I wake up, God presents me, puts me in the presence of a different situation, and before you know it, I blew it. I blew it. And I'm like, man, I'm slow to learn. I need to get this. You know, I think about my daughter, Rachel, when it comes to time and patience. She's been a disciple for 2 years now. We moved over from another ministry. She became a disciple over there in that ministry, and the transition over here was challenging for her, for both of my kids. But she really struggled with that. She struggled with it because she was like, man, I'm leaving all my friends. And she didn't want to be here. But I've seen over the years how she has grown. And I was so afraid that, oh my God, my daughter, she's not going to do good over here. What do I do? You know, I'm very reactionary, you know, just what do? I need to do something. But I need to get on my knees and pray.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I've seen her gradually just grow. Grow to the point where she's interacting with the other teens, with other women in the church, and I'm just like, wow, Mike, you don't have to worry about that. Just be patient. Time will take care of everything.
Yeah.
Just be prayerful and be patient.
That's good.
And think about it. As Christians, we're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way. All the time. Even if you've been a disciple for 20 years, 30 years, you're going to be making mistakes. But we have to, you know what, reflect on that mistake and say, you know what, I need to grow and change and not make the same mistake anymore.
Amen.
And it's challenging. It's challenging to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It really is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When you're in it, it's hard. You know, I think about my son. He goes to a STEM school with a bunch of engineer kids, a bunch of science kids, and they just, you know, persecute him continuously about his faith.
Wow.
You know, one kid told him, it's like, listen, I thought you were a smart kid until you told me you believe in Jesus.
Wow.
He was crushed. Because these are his friends. And they laugh at him and they, you know, they make jokes about his religion. And it's hard when he comes home and talks to me about it, and I have to encourage him and pray with him and pray for him. You know, but the Bible talks about in James 1.
Come on.
It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
Right.
And perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything.
That's right.
Amen.
Come on, Mike.
That's true.
See, if we're not fighting through our trials and tribulations, we're not going to grow spiritually like we need to.
Yep.
If we're just giving in to lust, to pride, to selfishness, to all those things, if we're just giving in to them, we are neglecting ourselves spiritually.
Yep.
We're not going to grow like we need to grow.
Yep.
And trust me, I know the brothers, we're going through some things.
Amen.
A room like this, we are going through some things.
Yeah.
But James says, consider it pure joy. Who considers it pure joy? but it's right there. It's right there. And it says, perseverance must finish its work. We have to persevere, brothers.
Amen.
We have to push through.
That's right.
We can't give in to whatever it is that we're going through.
Right. True.
It's tough out here.
Yep.
You know, with the economy, you know, there's marital problems, there's roommate problems, there's schoolmate problems. There's issues right here in this room amongst brothers. But we have to persevere. We have to persevere so that we may be mature and complete. What will our spiritual maturity look like when Christ returns? What would it look like? Will it be any different than it is right now? Think about where you're at spiritually and think about where you want to be. Turn over to 2 Peter.
Come on.
I didn't have this scripture down, but I love the scripture.
Amen.
2 Peter 1, I'll start in verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, here Peter is talking about grace and peace. We will get grace and peace in abundance. But it's going to come through our knowledge of Christ. It says in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness.
Amen.
Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
Wow.
Here he is again. It says, through our knowledge of Him. If you want to be prey to Satan, don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Because he is looking for individuals like that.
Yep.
He camps out wherever you're at. In verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Look at the way he just lays this out.
Yep.
See, this is, if we just take this and say, you know what? This is going to be a snapshot of how I'm going to grow spiritually.
Come on. Amen.
This is the way I'm going to go about doing this. You have to have faith.
Yep.
And the Bible talks about goodness and knowledge and self-control. That's another area that gets me at times. In traffic, with my children, with my wife, just learning how to have self-control. Perseverance. I love that perseverance. You gotta run through the tape. You gotta keep it going. You can't stop. You can't stop trying to grow spiritually. Brotherly kindness. I think that there needs to be so much more of that going on. When there is a need, when we know of a need in the church, when we don't see one of our brothers here on Sunday or Thursday, we need to pick up the phone. We need to do a drive-by.
Amen.
But there needs to be some brotherly kindness going on.
Amen.
That's right.
You're right.
We need to figure out how to encourage one another.
That's right.
Amen.
And the last one, it says, we have to love. Mm-hmm. And that's the first and the greatest command.
That's right.
We have to love one another.
Amen.
In verse 8, it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if we possess these qualities in increasing measures, that means that we have to be practicing these things.
Amen. Come on, bro.
We have to keep doing these things.
That's right.
It says that it will keep you from being ineffective. Who wants to be ineffective in this room? As a Christian. There's so many lost souls in Gwinnett, throughout Georgia. At your school, at your job, there's so many lost souls. The last thing I want to do is to be ineffective in the area that God has presented me in. It says, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and he's forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
Mm-hmm.
Nearsighted and blind. I don't think that there are any blind brothers in this room. And we don't want to be blind spiritually.
Yeah.
We want to be able to see what Satan is doing.
Amen.
And what he's throwing at us.
Right.
And be prepared to deal with it. Mm-hmm. In verse 10 it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and elect sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall.
Amen.
Man, I like that.
Amen.
Never fall. You may fall, but you can get back up.
Yep.
Especially if you have a friend with you.
Amen.
It says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says you will never fall if we possess these qualities in increasing measures. Brothers, being spiritually mature is something that we have to keep on striving to be.
Amen.
It's an ongoing, a daily decision to, you know what, I'm going to fight. I'm going to be like Jesus. I want to know how Jesus reacted so I can react that way.
Yep.
I want to serve like Jesus served. I want to love like Jesus loved. I'm not going to overreact with my children, with my wife. I'm going to love the brothers in this room. I'm going to be vulnerable with the brothers in this room.
Amen.
So that I can grow spiritually.
Amen.
Because if I'm keeping it all to myself and no one knows, guess what? You're not going to grow. What will our spiritual maturity look like when Christ returns? You know, I was at work today, and I was working. It was a chaotic day today, and two brothers walked up to my cube, and one was Phil Proctor. And I was just like, man, you know, I just got emotional when I seen him. For those that don't know Phil Proctor, he's an elder down at the AMCC church. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. This brother has been through a lot for months. So when I seen him and I seen his smile, it was so encouraging to see him. And he was just talking about his perseverance.
Amen.
His trials.
Yeah.
And he was talking about it with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I told him, I said, bro, you just increased my faith.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know whether he was going to live.
Yep.
He talked about how if it wasn't for brothers in the church going to his house, picking him up, taking him to the doctor, doing this, doing that, he says, I don't know how I would have made it through this. So when I think about encouraging things like that, I'm amazed.
Amen.
Because I love the brotherhood. You know, I know Richard had said something on Sunday about just, he couldn't wait for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't wait to get here tonight to share this.
Amen.
You know, my son was diagnosed with necrosis of the hips. You know, his femur bones were collapsing. And they put him in a wheelchair. And they told him the only way that they're going to be able to help him is to do hip replacement. And that could be 3-4 years down the road. And so that was tough for us as a family. Making all these adjustments and going to all these appointments, it was challenging. But we went to an appointment last week. And it was his second appointment after his surgery. He didn't have hip replacement, but he had a minor surgery just to kind of help, you know, delay the hip surgery. And his doctor looked at the x-rays, and he came in the room, and he was like, I don't know what has happened. He said, your hips have improved more than anyone that I've ever did this surgery on.
Wow.
Amen.
He said, I've never seen this before. And we were looking for the long haul, my son to be in a wheelchair 2 years, 3 years. The doctor said, hey, listen, I want to see you back in 6 weeks. And in 6 weeks, looking at these x-rays, you will be walking into my office.
Wow.
I praise God for stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's God. That is God.
That's right.
And my son, you know, he's been persevering. He's been getting encouragement. You know, I think about Jonathan, Anglin. That brother has been encouraging my son. I love that. We all need encouragement.
Amen.
If people don't know what's going on with this brother, please get somebody and let them know what's going on with you so you can get some encouragement. It's hard being out here by yourself. There's no Lone Ranger Christian in my eyes. You can't grow like that. So, brothers, I pray that this was encouraging, that you got something out of this, and to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you so much for this night. God, thank you so much, God, for your word. God, thank you so much, God, that you could give us what we need for life and godliness. God, help us to really take this to heart. God, so that we could grow spiritually. God, that we can help others to grow spiritually. And Father, that your church will truly be to your glory. Father, be with us, God. Be with the men in the church. God, I pray that 2012, God, that the men will make decisions to grow.
Amen.
That we will grow and lead, Father, the way that you called us to lead. God, we love you so much. We thank you so much, God, for just everything that you do and everything that you continue to do in our lives. And we pray this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.